قرآن كويست. Yes please.
قرآني نبض حياتي، قرآني طهر ذاتي، قرآني عصمة أمري، قرآني طوق نجاتي. آيات الله حمدتني، غمرتني بالبركات.
قرآن كويست، answering your Quranic questions.
الشيطان ومن زلاتي. آيات الله حمدتني، غمرتني بالبركات، تحفظني من همزاتي الشيطان ومن زلاتي. قرآني نبض حياتي، قرآني طهر ذاتي، قرآني عصمة أمري، قرآني طوق نجاتي. قرآني نبض حياتي، قرآني طهر ذاتي، قرآني عصمة أمري، قرآني طوق نجاتي.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد. To all our brothers and sisters out there, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You are listening to IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest, the program where we study the verses of the Quran one by one with our dear and beloved brother Habib. Dear brother Habib, thank you very much for coming. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. It's always nice to have you with us.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's always nice to be here, Hussein.
Thank you very much. So with brother Habib, we go through the verses of the Quran one by one. We're on Surah 19, chapter 19 of the Quran, which is about Lady Mary. We started this chapter around Christmas in respect of our Christian friends, and we're still on these verses. We arrived today on verse 14. Let's listen to a couple of verses and we'll be back for the questions.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful. And dutiful to his parents, and he was not a disobedient tyrant. And peace be upon him the day he was born, and the day he dies, and the day he is raised alive.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest. You just listened to a couple of verses from verse 14 from chapter 19, Surah Mary. All right, let's go through the first verse, which is verse 14. And good to his parents as was not self-willed or disobedient. Okay, so there's a particular word which I want to ask you about, and the word is Jabbar. Right? He didn't force himself on people, his thoughts on people. The question here is that was Yahya or John the kind of person who wouldn't go beyond intellectual discussions? And if he was, should that be our role model today, in your opinion?
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله على محمد وآل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. When looking not only at the lifestyle of Yahya but other prophets and the Imam alayhim salam themselves, and the different verses available in the Holy Quran talking to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, one can get a notion or concept that the Prophet ما عليه إلا البلاغ, he doesn't have anything to do other than to spread the message. And other than that, a method of spreading the message is to actually fend off any misconceptions or doubts that could be placed on the school of thought or the theology or the ideology that the Prophet was bringing. Thus, and hence, it is from the Prophet's characteristics to only go into intellectual debates or, you know, intellectual
discussions.
Other than that, forcing someone to enter religion without their will is out of their criteria or out of their, their orders or out of what they were told to do by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, they followed the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If there came a time that Allah ordered one of the prophets or the emmah to, you know, force people into the religion, then yeah, it's a different story. But the way and manner that the prophets came by was in this manner. They do not force anyone into the religion. They tell the people about the religion and the righteousness of the religion. If they accepted it, then they accepted it. If they don't accept it, let them be.
So we don't have any instances where a prophet would force someone to become a Muslim, otherwise they would be killed.
No. Killed for being a Muslim? No. For not being a Muslim? No.
And what about instances when a Muslim might want to revert from Islam to another religion? Isn't that forcing them to stay Muslim?
That really comes, this law of, you know, forcing people to come back to you know, not letting them go after coming into religion. It comes from the idea of society comes first. The safeness and the order and the organization of society comes first. It's more important than individual. And then comes second the individual interest or the things that involve individuals. So if this individual, this action of leaving Islam and then showing out that you have left Islam and it's the religion and you believe it's a wrong religion will cause some kind of corruption. That is why it must be stopped in a manner that people will not fall into any misconceptions or many different negative effects.
So it's only a problem when it gets messy, when it becomes uneducated, unacademic.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Let's take a short break now, and we'll be back after the break for a few more questions.
إن سألتم عن الله فهو رحمن رحيم أنزل الشارع حنيفا رحمة للعالمين رحمة للعالمين.
This is Quran Quest on IRIB English Radio. It's a program that attempts to answer your questions pertaining to the Noble Quran. We'd be delighted to have your comments about the program. Just search Quran Quest on IRIB English Radio.
If you ask me who my God is, on whose name I call, if you ask me who my God is, He's the God of us all, Allah the Merciful. If you ask me what my book is that I hold in my hand, if you ask me what my book is, it's the Holy Quran, the Holy Quran.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest. We are on verse 14 of Surah 19. We are on verse 14 of chapter 19, Surah Mary. We're asking about the word Jabbar, and it's all about forcing people into religion. Just a quick question, because this might not be directly related to this show. A question here is that we're saying that prophets never forced people into religion. Once a person is in religion, some rulings, if they violate them, the repercussion for that might be a whip or a kind of other punishment. How does this differ from Jabbar and forcing people into religion?
First of all, I want to leave this to the kind of verses that we'll talk about, these, you know, capital punishments. The idea of capital punishments and وَفِيهَا حَيَاتٌ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ, it has life for those who it has life, so understand, all those who understand, or those who are intellect. And this really goes back to the fact that human beings, you're under Islamic law. As long as you're a Muslim, you have submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means submitting to His laws. Submitting to His laws means that you will obey anything and everything that He states. When you disobey, there of course are actions there are punishments, or you could say effects that happen. For example, when you are doing this kind of sin in community, you are causing corruption to this community, to this society, going back to that factor of society first. When doing this sin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to keep people away from doing this sin. Because when a human being see that someone's doing this and someone's doing that, they want to copy. Monkey do, monkey see. If you believe in Darwin and Darwin's evolution, humans see, humans do is the same as monkey do, monkey see. When they see people doing these sins, it becomes something natural to them. They want to do it and commit it as well. They will see that, all right, we can do it as well. But when you have punishments and capital punishments to stop these kinds of sins, then that means what? They will be in fear of doing it. For example, murder, serial killers, school shootings. Go ahead and state them. Killing innocent people. When you see someone, when they get mad, kill this person for no reason, just to, you know, calm themselves down, to calm their wrath down, and then walk away with no one giving them capital punishment or putting them in prison, for example, for like, I don't know, 30 years or 40 years on some situations that they get out of bail, on bail, for example. Then other people will want to do it as well. Other people who are not mentally stable. Thus, there must be something to stop the human being, to stop that soul, that wicked soul from moving on into these actions. One way of doing that is to kill that person in front of the people so they can understand that this is the punishment of doing such actions. When you see someone dying in front of you, when you see someone getting lashed in front of you, when you see someone getting stoned in front of you, that fear will come back to your heart.
So just to summarize, the lack of repercussion encourages people to cause disorder in the community,
yeah,
which prevents the community
and
from
of course,
flourishment.
This and human rights thing is something new. 200 years ago, you would talk about this topic. It would be something so necessary, so clear, so something that, it's a notion that's available. But because of these, you know, human laws that were placed by some European people to save their, you know, personal interests, people will see it as something very taboo. But when you look at it, really, we need this. And there are some U.S. presidents that have been saying and calling that we should bring in back capital punishment.
But generally, I was speaking about various kinds of punishments. So thank you very much for your opinion, Brother Habib. Let's take a break, and we'll be back to move on to the next verse after the break. Don't go away.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest, and we are on chapter Mary, chapter 19. We're moving on to verse 15. So up to now, God was listing some of the advantages of Yahya, calling him compassionate, pure, God-wary, good to his parents, not self-willed and not disobedient. And here he says, وَسَلَامٌ عَلَيْهِ يَوْمَ وُلِدَ وَيَوْمَ يَمُوتُ وَيَوْمَ يُبْعَثُ وَيَوْمَ يُبْعَثُ حَيَّ. Peace be to him, the day he was born and the day he dies and the day he is raised alive. Now this is a verse which was revealed to the Prophet Muhammad. By the time this was revealed, Yahya was already passed. But the verb that God subhanahu wa ta'ala is using in this ayah is a future tense. The day he dies, but Yahya is already dead. The day he is raised alive, and that's probably the day of judgment. But can you explain to us why the Quran is talking in future tense here?
When looking at this verse here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is actually notifying us. Ikhbar, it's not saying that I am saying salamun alayhi or praying for him for the future. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that salamun alayhi yawma walad, that there was peace for him when he was born, and there was peace on him when he was dead, when he passed away, and there will be peace on him when he comes back for resurrection. That's one answer. The second answer is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking us to that situation, like we are living before Yahya, and he is talking to us like before we are living with Yahya, before Yahya came into this world, and stating that salamun alayhi yawma walad yawma yamut wa yawma yub'athu hayya.
So he's considering us in that situation,
yeah,
right there. So it makes sense for it to be future.
It has there are a couple of verses that are like that, especially when we're talking about the prophets. It's like it has to do with the eloquence in the Arabic language. It's like it's taking your hand and taking you into the scenario.
Into the history.
Yeah.
That's a very beautiful way to put it. Thank you very much, Brother Habib. That's all the time that we have, unfortunately. But if you miss the program, don't worry. You can always download an archive from our website. Simply search IRIB English Radio Quran Quest. You can also email us until next week and another program. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.